C2SP. Number 13A.
We come to the next main tone, spirit. Spiritualization is furthered by our denying that matter is part of man. You see again, all these epitomes start out with spiritualization, because the third part wants to give us a step-by-step method how we can arrive at the final spiritualization of all things. So the second step is that of denying that matter is any part of man. The very first tone, a subtone of mind, says the denial of material selfhood aids the recognition of the spiritual individuality of man. So the tone of mind is here, again, recognition. See, mind can recognize, mind can apprehend, comprehend. So, first of all, it aids the recognition. The text here reads as follows. Absorbed in material selfhood, absorbed is the very counterfeit of reflection, and we see that man is a reflection of spirit. The counterfeit of reflection is absorption. So we are absorbed in material selfhood, the counterfeit of spirit. We naturally discern and reflect, but faintly, the substance of life or mind. Therefore, the denial of material selfhood aids the discernment of man's spiritual and eternal individuality and destroys the erroneous knowledge gained from matter or through what are termed the material senses. So the point here is that we deny, it's a denial, that is in the main tone, we had that, the spiritualization is furthered by our denial of material selfhood, and on the other side, by the acceptance, by the discernment of man's spiritual and eternal individuality. If we do that, that helps to understand then our individuality. Now, this is this can be understood in very different ways. This sentence here and what follows afterwards are so clear, letter-wise, that they are taken by the students for practice and say, well, I have to deny material selfhood, and so they just deny and deny matter and say there is no matter, matter has no power, matter does not exist and has no substance, and so on. Well, this is not really a high standpoint of what is meant by denial of material selfhood. I always feel we actually, Mrs. Eddy cannot always explain every little statement at large so that there is no misunderstanding about it. Finally, she has a whole textbook to take up fundamental questions in as the text flows on. So if we just deny matter, say, well, there is no matter and there can be no matter, and matter has no law, matter has no power, no action, that matter has no intelligence, no substance, no identity, and I don't know what. We just hammer on matter and deny matter. This is a very metaphysical method, and not at all a highly scientific method of denying matter. Because then we feel that with our thought we can deny matter. And if our thought denies matter, that then matter does no more exist. And we know that it goes on existing. It is different if we deny matter in the way that we see, because God is spirit, there can be no matter. And you look into the immensity of spirit, so that you at once see within oneself that because of our understanding of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love, because of that understanding, there can be no matter. You deny matter from the standpoint of the synonymous terms and not from thinking. That is argumentation, that is not Christian Science, that's hypnotism, that's self-hypnotism, just convincing ourselves that there is no matter, and convincing ourselves through thinking that there is no matter. That doesn't do away the beliefs of matter. The belief in matter must be handled by an understanding of spirit. And so it is a much better method to see and to look into spirit and see why there cannot be matter. You look into spirit and you see spirit is that which has no limits, which has no boundaries, that is infinite, therefore there in that infinitude nothing can exist that has boundaries, that has time and space concept in it, that has limitation in it, and you see that these two consciousness cannot be entertained at once. And so in this way we begin to resolve the belief that there can be matter. Or you look into the infinitude of spirit and you see, well, in the infinity of spirit there are only ideas, spiritual ideas, blending of spiritual ideas. That's the only reality, and therefore in that admiration of the onlyness of spirit, one begins to see, therefore it's nonsense to believe that there can be material things, because they just have no place, no room in this infinite reflection of spirit. Can you see what I do? We handle matter not by denying matter from the point of view of thinking and of willpower and of argumentation. We handle the nothingness of matter by seeing the allness of the synonymous term, spirit. So we always go out admitting that man is God's own likeness, and therefore we handle evil and handle matter from the standpoint of God, and therefore deny or can see the nothingness of the counterfeits from the point of view of the fullness of the facts of the synonymous terms. And that gives quite a different sense. I don't know if I have explained myself rightly and properly, which makes all the difference. All the difference. Just to hammer on that poor sense of matter with our thoughts, as if matter would be something, we actually make more of it than less. We see matter as an enemy, we see matter as something that has to be destroyed and knocked down and put asunder. We go out from our own basis. If we go out from the synonymous term and look first into the infinitude of spirit and what spirit implies, then we somehow sit down and say, therefore, it's impossible that there is such a belief called matter, that there is such a suggestion called matter. And so we deny the existence of matter and the material selfhood. We come to the next subtone, namely spirit. And here we have those five erroneous postulates, which are more or less all about matter. The epitome reads, by contrasting the spiritual facts with certain erroneous material postulates, we can better comprehend the spiritual facts. So by contrast, we always learn more, and this is what she does here. Certain erroneous postulates should be here considered in order that the spiritual fact may be better apprehended. It's interesting that she said, by contrasting truth and error, by contrasting opposites, we better understand really that which is true, the spiritual fact. We better apprehend it. So she takes those erroneous postulates and they all turn around the question of matter, substance, is substance, matter, is matter, substance. And so the first erroneous postulate of belief is, it's a postulate of belief, is that substance, life, and intelligence are something apart from God. So this is the very first postulate, that we see that matter or belief of substance is something apart from God. So that we don't feel that we have just one universe, a universe that contains as well a belief as well as facts, and see first that a belief is that substance, life, and intelligence are something apart from God. There is never a dualistic sense in the universe. And so we have to resolve that dualistic belief step by step. The second erroneous postulate is that man is both mental and material. So the first belief is that, the first postulate is that there is a belief. That's the very first thing. Whereas the very first thing in reality is always that there is mind. But everything starts with a belief, and that belief is in a separation from God, that substance, life, and intelligence are separated from God, the counterfeit of love here, because we see in the third part that he always wants to show there is only one being, that God and man is one existence. And so the counterfeit is that it starts out with the belief that there is separation from God. The second is that man is therefore both mental and material, that he is both. The third is that mind is both evil and good. See, can you see the second is relying on mental and material, then the third takes up the mental and says, and that mental is both evil and good, whereas the real mind cannot be evil, nor the medium of evil, for mind is God. From that erroneous postulate, she goes forth to the fourth erroneous postulate, which is that matter is intelligent. She goes back to the second one, where she said that man is both mental, explains mental in the third as good and evil, then in the fifth explains the material sense of the sec. Can you still follow me? I go from second to fourth and so on. Perhaps I have to go a bit slower, in order to make it plain. So it starts out with first with a belief. In what belief? In a belief of separation from God. That's the very first point. That there exists something that is separate from God, like substance, life, and intelligence. That they are separate from God. That's the very first belief. Then she says, all right, the moment you have that belief, then belief is mental. So the second erroneous postulate is that man is both mental, both in the belief realm, and material. He has both. He's not just material. He also has a false consciousness, a false way of thinking. So he is mentally and materially erroneous. That's the second belief. Now, mentally and materially are two things, and these two things are dealt with in the next two postulates. First, he takes up the mental and says, therefore, in the third postulate, that mind is both evil and good. Yes? And then the other part of that second postulate, that man is material, she takes up in the fourth erroneous postulate and says, no, that matter is, that gives us the erroneous postulate, that matter is intelligent, and that man has therefore a material body, which is part of himself. So she has dealt with that belief that man is mental and material. Is this now, have you been able to follow now? So it needs two beliefs to be shown as wrong. The mental beliefs that it is evil and good, the material beliefs that matter has intelligence. That's the fourth postulate. Then she goes further in that reasoning and says, and the fifth erroneous postulate is that matter holds in itself the issues of life and death. That matter is not only capable of experience pleasure and pain, but also capable of imparting these sensations. From the illusion implied in this last postulate arises a decomposition of mortal bodies in what is termed death. Now, could you see the fifth postulate? See, she goes, again, I go right through. First is the postulate that there is a belief. The belief that God is not all, the belief that there is something very positive, namely life, truth, and substance, but that is apart or separate from God. That's the first belief. A belief that substance, life, and intelligence are separate from God. Then the second belief builds on that separation. It says, therefore, the second erroneous belief is that man, therefore, is both mental and material. It's both from the nature of God and also from the nature of matter. So it's both mental and material. So that duality is then further developed in further erroneous postulates, those two aspects of mental and material. The mental then is said in the third postulate that it is evil and good, and the material in the second postulate then is shown in the fourth postulate that the material has intelligence. Yes? That's the next erroneous postulate. That leads to a further erroneous postulate that if man is mental and material, that means when you have mental and material, we always have said, if mind is in matter, you have sensation. The moment you have mind in matter, you have sensation. The body has only sensation because it believes it has mind within itself. A body that has no mind in itself has no sensation. So that's the fifth postulate. That she says, this is the fifth postulate. Namely, that matter is not only capable of experience, pleasures, and pains. That's the fifth. That's soul. That's the counterfeit of soul. But also capable of imparting these sensations. That mind in matter has, which is body, has also the ability to impart sensations. From the illusion implied in this last postulate arises then the decomposition of mortal bodies in what is termed death. So sin always brings death. Sensation in matter always brings death, because that is the very counterfeit of life. You see that? Those five postulates, they are very... how could I say, they are just evolution of a false belief at the beginning. You start with a erroneous postulate at the beginning, and then the erroneous postulate just begins to like an avalanche, just to snowball, I think you say, and always takes more and more beliefs into it. The moment we have the belief that reality, like life, substance, intelligence, have nothing to do with God, that they are separate from God, if that belief is in the first place there, then that belief evolves itself at once and says, where is it? Where is it? It says, well, that belief is in man that says, I'm both mental and material. If man is mental, then it says, what kind of a mentality? Well, either good or evil or both. If man is material, what kind of material man? Well, he's intelligence material. He's not just like iron or copper. He's really intelligent. It's an intelligent matter. Well, if it's both mental and material, you put that together into one. If we put that together, mind into matter, we have sensation. We have a material body with sensation. So that's the fifth postulate there that says, then man has material sensation and can produce material sensation and can give material sensation. And if that is so, then you have the decomposition of matter, because we know that every matter with mind in it decays. It decays. The moment life goes out of matter, the moment the belief says life goes out of matter, that matter decays. It's organic matter that decays. That's the whole build-up, so to say, of a false belief. So it's always that we should see that we handle a belief at its inception, or it snowballs erroneous beliefs one after the other until finally the whole thing is destroyed or destroys itself. Yes, that would have been the second subtone. Let's see again, what was the first subtone about matter? It's all about the question of matter. Is matter a part of man or not? And the main epitome was that spiritualization is furthered by our denying that matter is a part of man. So first we have the command to deny material self because it helps for the recognition, it says here, of spirit individuality. Therefore, we cannot just knock down with mental powers the existence of matter. That does not work. Or we would in this way not see something spiritually. It must aid, as she said that it must aid the discernment of man's spiritual and eternal individuality. So in order to destroy matter or to deny matter, we have to see man's spiritual individuality. We first must discern his spirituality. Then we can see that there is no room for a material concept in it. So this is the first step. Then we go to the second step, where we see that we must contrast really the belief structure of matter with the spiritual structure of spirit. And by contrasting it, you begin to see more what is really behind it. The one, the false sense, has its self-destruction. It resolves itself and decays. The other is a fact. Then we come to the subtone of soul, quite unique, just one sentence. Mind. Here, naturally, mind is a capital. Mind is not an entity within the cranium with the power of sinning now and forever. The tone of soul comes out very clearly. Namely, soul always says, I'm not in something. The bigger is not in the smaller. The greater is not in the lesser. that incense is always the counterfeit of soul, because soul says, I'm unbounded, I have no limit, I'm always outside the body, I'm outside finite form. And so we have the further erroneous belief that mind is an entity in the cranium. And so that has to be corrected and see that mind is outside the cranium and has no power to sin now and forever. This is the second tone. It is not an easy tone, I quite agree. It has always given quite a bit of thought, taken thought, to see those five postulates, what they really want to convey, that they are not just five postulates that are stated without any connection between them, that they are actually related to each other, that they are just showing that if we are not denying, in the first place, really the material selfhood and give in to the belief of a material selfhood, namely that substance, life, and intelligence have a self-existence, that they exist without God, then we have touched the very first belief, separate, that reality is separate from God. And we have the very first belief, then it shows to the second, to the fifth postulate, how that belief evolves. That it says, then that belief says you are mental, and mental is good and evil. That belief says it is material, and says material has intelligence. And if you put those two together, evil mind and matter having intelligence, you have all the sensation of the body you want, and you have the physical senses. And they are not the realities of being. And they are never in a cranium. Yeah. This is the second subject. So we come to the next one.